The CDC released new guidelines yesterday for how to navigate the world after you've been vaccinated. There are still some precautions vaccinated people ought to take, like avoiding medium and large gatherings, wearing masks, and practicing social distancing in public. But once you're vaccinated, the CDC says now it's safe to visit healthy, unvaccinated people from one household, indoors, and even without masks. A Wisconsin epidemiologist joins us now to understand the new safety guidelines for life after vaccination, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about these new guidelines? Have you or your loved ones been vaccinated? Have you changed your behavior at all or been wary to do so? Do you still worry about spreading the disease even after you've been vaccinated? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Amanda Simonek is an associate professor of epidemiology at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Zilber School of Public Health and an associate editor at Dear Pandemic, a website and social media campaign where you can find science-based info on COVID-19. Amanda, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me today.
Well, I gave some of the very bare basics of these new CDC guidelines for life after vaccination. What to you are some of the biggest pieces of information in this release from the CDC?
Yeah, so, you know, I think you started to summarize it pretty well. The new guidelines for people who have been fully vaccinated, which means that you are 2 weeks past the second dose if you receive the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine, or you are 2 weeks past the single dose of the Johnson & Johnson, or also referred to as Janssen vaccine. That means you're fully vaccinated. And if that's the case, CDC has just released guidelines that it is okay for you to, one, get together with other vaccinated individuals, and that it's not necessary to require wearing masks or physical distancing. And it's also okay to visit unvaccinated people without wearing masks or physical distancing. The thing you want to keep in mind if you're going to visit with unvaccinated people is that you want to make sure that they are low risk for severe COVID disease. And the reason for that is, you know, these vaccines, they're highly effective against preventing you from severe COVID-19 disease. There has been a sort of a growing evidence that these vaccines may also prevent infection in the vaccinated individual altogether. And so the likelihood that you as a vaccinated person would spread the SARS-CoV-2 virus to somebody who's unvaccinated is reduced, but it's not 100%. So, you know, if you consider someone yourself or in your household to be high risk for complications of COVID-19, then you probably wouldn't want to have a vaccinated person visit, you know, in your household. But I think this is great news, you know, for when the trials were conducted, the main outcome of interest was really symptomatic COVID-19 illness. And so these trials were aimed at understanding whether the vaccines were, you know, the vaccine efficacy for preventing COVID-19 disease and not necessarily transmission of the infection or infection overall. But there's been a growing, you know, body of evidence from sort of observational studies since the vaccines have been rolled out in different geographic areas that indicate, and I think have given CDC reason to think that it, you know, it's reasonably safe for someone who is vaccinated to be reunited with some unvaccinated family members. One of the other key considerations is that if you're someone who's been vaccinated, you know, and you want to perhaps go visit your grandchildren and your children, you really, what they're saying is that you should get together with one household at a time. You know, we're not ready for these big reunions of multiple families and households that have unvaccinated individuals, because there's still a risk of transmission among the unvaccinated individuals in those settings. And so, you know, grandparents who are vaccinated who would like to visit their grandchildren and children could get together with just that household you know, not have to take some of the precautions that have been advised in the past.
That's happy news for a lot of people. What are the next steps? What are we still waiting to learn before, say, the CDC says, yeah, let's open it up to more stuff? What are the sort of the next benchmarks we're hunting for here?
Yeah, I mean, what they're recommending is that, you know, you're only sort of lifting the mask use and the physical distancing in these household setting environments. You know, for vaccinated individuals, they're still recommending if you go out in public that you do wear a mask and you physically distance. You know, one of the reasons for that is in a place like the grocery store or another setting, you don't necessarily know if someone's high risk, you know, for COVID-19. And so you can't kind of make that assessment that it's an okay environment for you as a vaccinated individual to let go of some of those measures that actually serve to protect other people from getting infection from you should you actually be infected. You know, and they're still recommending that we are not getting having medium to large size gatherings. You know, we have to keep in mind that one point of the vaccine is to protect the person who's vaccinated from severe illness. The other goal that we have with a greater and greater proportion of the population getting vaccinated is that transmission will be reduced, right? And so the fact that we have indication that these vaccines may actually prevent people from getting infected altogether is great, because that means that we should see, you know, precipitous drops in the number of cases, the rate of cases in the community as the number of people who get vaccinated increases. So I do think, as the weeks, you know, proceed here and the proportion of the population that becomes vaccinated increases and the cases drop, that we probably will see some more guidance from CDC of other areas of life where we can relax some of the measures that we've been so, you know, diligently engaged in.
Talking to epidemiologist Amanda Simonek from UW-Milwaukee, associate editor at Dear Pandemic, looking at new CDC guidelines for life after vaccination and answering your related questions at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Tom is with us in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. I have a neighbor who's had both shots of the, I believe it's the Moderna vaccine, and she said that she intends to keep wearing her mask when associating with other people who have been vaccinated, because she's concerned about the ability to resist particularly the South African variant. And I wondered if there's any information on that yet.
Tom, thanks for the call. Amanda.
Yeah. So, you know, the different companies that have produced the vaccines are actively, you know, evaluating what the efficacy is against different variants that are emerging. And so there is, you know, some indication that the efficacy might be lower against different variants. That's being evaluated in a few ways. You know, one is that there are studies where they take, you know, sera from individuals who've been vaccinated and evaluate the level of neutralizing antibodies essentially that get produced. And so for the Pfizer and Moderna trials, there's some indication that those levels are lower, but it doesn't mean that there's no ability to defend against that variant. And I think if, you know, we should expect that these companies, number one, are in the process of developing updated versions of their vaccines or boosters. And so if we find that a certain variant is circulating at high levels and the vaccines that have been produced and administered are not effective, you would expect to hear messaging, you know, about ways that you need to go about protecting yourself once you've been vaccinated, and potential for booster vaccines to be available on the horizon. So if you are someone, you know, who you feel like even with the vaccine, you consider yourself at high risk, you know, for complications from COVID-19, and you are concerned, there certainly is no harm in continuing to wear a mask and take extra precautions when you are socializing with other people. You know, I think these guidelines are such that, you know, if you want to engage in social interactions, you know, with other vaccinated people, these are CDC is, you know, recommending that is okay.
Thanks for that call. We're looking at new COVID guidelines for vaccinated people and taking your related questions. Amanda Simonek is with us, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at UW-Milwaukee, Associate Editor at Dear Pandemic, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about the COVID vaccines, the new guidelines for the CDC for people who have received their vaccinations and hung on for a couple of weeks after that before changing their behavior? Any other questions related to the spread of the disease, the vaccination process? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with UW-Milwaukee epidemiologist Amanda Simonek about new CDC safety guidelines for vaccinated people and other COVID vaccine-related issues. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your questions, comments, maybe experiences now that you're vaccinated. If you are, 800-642-1234 is the number. Back to your calls now. Gary is with us in Kaukauna. Gary, hi.
Yeah, I just wondered, I have a booklet that says if you want to enter school as a kindergartner, you have to have all these different vaccines. But I'm just wondering if, and that means all the kids have to have it. Maybe there's 2 or 3% that can opt out. But I'm wondering, why is 10% a benchmark for success in the vaccination program for COVID? Because it seems like a low percentage to exonerate all the people and say, everything's open up, we can go bring right back things to normal.
I gotcha, Gary. Thanks a lot. So a couple things there. The first pamphlet Gary was referring to, I assume, means the regular vaccinations, the measles, mumps, rubella, things like that. That is not applied to the COVID vaccine to get kids back into school. And I'm not sure about the 10% benchmark as being a sign of success. I don't know. Amanda, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure what pamphlet he's referring to. So I'm not sure how to answer that question. You know, right now, you know, vaccine trials are ongoing for the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine in children that are 12 and over. Only the Pfizer vaccine is available currently for children as young as 16. So I am not sure if benchmarks have been set yet, because I think we're anticipating that maybe children 12 and older, the vaccine may become available in late summer, early fall for that age group. But I haven't seen those guidelines.
Thanks for the call, Gary. One benchmark we are hoping for is some kind of functional herd immunity, mainly by getting people vaccinated, some of it coming from people who've already had COVID-19. And I know it's kind of hard to tell when that's going to give an overall protection. What kind of things are you watching for, Amanda, when it comes to herd immunity? Because mainly we vaccinated enough people to get there.
Yeah, I mean, the estimates for what proportion of the population will need to be vaccinated to achieve herd immunity sort of range between 70 to 90%. You know, as of, I think today, almost 2 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine have been administered in the state of Wisconsin, and about 600,000 of those were second doses. And so as of right now, about 19% of the Wisconsin population has received one shot, and 10.4%, I believe, have received two shots, you know, two doses. So, you know, I think, you know, with herd immunity, it's not going to be necessarily a light switch that flicks, oh, we crossed this threshold and here we are, we've arrived, you know. But I think what we can anticipate is that as the proportion of the population that gets vaccinated continues to increase, we will continue to see a decrease in cases. And, you know, I have to say, I've been on this program, I think this is my eighth time, and
last time I
was on the program was in November or December, and our 7-day average number of cases at that time was 6,500, and now it's about 391 as of today. You know, we have seen drops in hospitalizations and deaths over the past 2 months. And so I've joked with your producers in the past that when they thanked me for being on, I say, no worries, just have me back on the program when there's good news, you know, and when things are going in the right direction. And I think, you know, that's what we're going to continue to see is as the proportion of the population that's getting vaccinated increases, you know, that should reduce transmission and as well as prevent people from having severe disease and getting hospitalized and unfortunately dying from COVID-19. So that's, you know, what we want to be looking for over the next few months. We're going to see warmer weather. We're going to be able to, you know, reunite in outdoor settings with friends and family. And as, you know, more people in your own family get vaccinated, obviously, you know, the guidelines are that you can be around them with masks or without masks and without distancing. And so, you know, I think we're heading in a positive direction.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Russ is with us in Stoughton. Russ, hello.
Hi, good afternoon. I just recently by email got notified that my local hospital has got hold of, after weeks of not getting any vaccine, they got hold of about 500 vaccines, they estimate. So I could go this Thursday, day after tomorrow, and get a vaccine. They do not know when they'll get more. So it brings up two questions. Number one, how long should you be between shot one and shot two? And my second question is, what is the harm in getting shot one or one vaccine and then the availability of a different vaccine comes up sooner than your first one and you get the second shot of a different vaccine? Is there any harm in it?
That's a great question. So I'll start with the duration of time between doses. So for the Pfizer vaccine, the doses are supposed to be 21 days apart. For Moderna vaccine, 28 days apart. And then for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, this is a one-dose vaccine. So you only need to worry about that first dose. I think if you get the first dose and by the time you're due for your second dose, there is not a shot vaccine available, you know, it isn't going to be detrimental to wait a little bit longer to get your second dose. It's, you know, I think that's still better than not getting that first dose, right? And what I will say is that I think we anticipate in Wisconsin that the supply of vaccine is continuing to increase. You know, these companies are producing more and more vaccine with the availability of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine coming online. You know, I think we're going to be seeing the supply moving in a good direction. And so if you have the chance to get any of these vaccines, you know, I wouldn't think too much about, will I have a second dose available? You can cross that bridge when you come to it. You know, one of my dear pandemic colleagues, Dr. Allison Buttenheim, you know, says the best vaccine you can get is the one you can get tomorrow. And I concur with that. So I say, if you're up, you're eligible, you have a chance to get your first dose, go for it.
Russ, thanks a lot for the call. Good luck getting that sorted out this week. We're talking to Amanda Simonek, epidemiologist at UW-Milwaukee, about guidelines from the CDC for people who have had their vaccinations and other COVID-related issues. And Amanda, a key point, these guidelines allow for some loosening up for those people who've had the vaccinations and they've been through 2 weeks since getting the vaccination. The rest of us who have not yet gotten vaccinated, you know, we see the numbers getting better. Is this a time to, you know, just to start blowing off those safety precautions?
I encourage everyone who, you know, who is waiting for their turn to get vaccinated to, you know, keep doing what we've been doing. The more we can reduce the transmission of this virus, the less opportunity we have for more variants to develop. Because when this virus gets transmitted to people and it replicates, that's where these changes in the virus happen. You know, it still should be a goal, you know, to try to avoid, you know, getting infected and to reduce the spread. And I think, as I said, as more people get vaccinated and we should see, you know, a contemporary decline in the number of cases that are occurring, we are going to be able, you know, to open up some other sectors of our lives and our social interactions. And the fact, you know, that CDC released these guidelines for those that have been vaccinated is really a great step in that direction. So hang tight, you know, when it's your turn to go out there and get your vaccine, do it. And, you know, we're heading in the right direction. So keep up the good work.
And Amanda, in our last minute, just to stay on the bringing it back for some good news theme, these vaccinations, they're really effective, right? I mean, they do, as vaccines go, a pretty good job.
Yes, extremely effective in preventing severe, you know, illness, hospitalization, and death. And, you know, that's great news. And I think everybody in the scientific community, you know, was just blown away at what the level of effectiveness was or efficacy in these trials.
We'll leave it there. Amanda, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Amanda Simonek, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Zilber School of Public Health and an Associate Editor at Dear Pandemic. She joins us for a look at new CDC guidelines for people who have received the full course of COVID vaccines, allowing for some unmasked meetings with maybe a grandkid, for example, or their family. One household at a time, though, please, according to the CDC guidelines.